Hey loves, it is Karen Rockhind. Welcome to your Living on Purpose bonus session with sex educator Kira Stein. Kira, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to have Kira on our show. I don't know what else to call it, but as our bonus, because as you know, in taking this class, I have really been thinking about how part of why we have lost our purpose or we have forgotten who we are is that we've been disconnected from parts of our femininity. We've been disconnected from who we are as woman. And woman is not just mother, even though a lot of times we get reduced to that in society. We are not just loving, compassionate sister and friend, even though that is one role that we play. And we're not just like badass professional, which is of course something that we do as well. We also are sensual love, and we are sexual wild woman, and we are playful muse, and we are fierce warrior. And Kira's work in sex education, in really supporting people, and I want you, Kira, in a moment to explain what you do, to help us get into our full bodies, because the more we're in our full bodies, the more we will not only enjoy life, that's a given, we also will have greater access to get out of our minds and into our desires and our purpose. So Kira, I'm so happy that you are here. And in full disclosure, Kira was where you all are.
Yes, I was.
So Kira came to me not knowing her purpose, and now she travels all over the world educating people in how to connect with their sexuality, with their truth. You'll tell us more. So Kira, first explain, what does it mean to be a sex educator? What is your purpose? Tell us.
Yes, happily. So my purpose is to really bring embodiment into the world of human sexuality. I have a background as a ballroom dance instructor. I work with people on their bodies and specifically on connection to another person in a physical way. I've been doing that for almost a decade now. And in the time that I've been doing that professionally, I also got my master's in human sexuality at a Widener University. And something that is really apparent in the human sexuality field is that there's actually very little talk about the things that we internalize in our body. You know, it's because for good reason, there's still very preliminary research about this, and it tends to be more focused on trauma, how trauma gets stored in the body. But our sexual history and our sensual history is also stored in the body, and we can access those feelings through mindfulness, through paying more attention to our bodies, to getting into our bodies a little bit more. We can actually learn how to access different parts of our personality, different parts of our history, different parts of our emotions through focusing on the body rather than getting a little bit lost in our minds. So I've been fascinated by this, and I went through a training called the Somatica Method, which is basically that. It's taking a very physical approach to these psychological issues that are very, very common, especially in our very sexually repressed, yet overloaded with sexual images society. So I, for the last couple of years, I've been helping people work through these issues using physicality, which is a world that I'm, you know, very comfortable with. Using things like touch and eye contact and breathing and feeling grounded on the floor beneath you, and syncing up your breath to the person sitting in front of you, and all of these things that sound incredibly simple, but bring up just about everything that you could imagine they would bring up. They bring up fear and anxiety and warmth and feelings of love, and you know, everything that we have wrapped up in our sexuality. So it's really wonderful and powerful work, and something that I would love to do in the future is to get more and more active in the medical field and in the therapy field, essentially giving doctors and nurses and therapists the training that they currently lack around sexuality and sensuality in relationships beyond simply reproductive biology.
Right. Oh my gosh. There's so much that we can talk about, and I'm so excited about it because I'm on my own journey of getting back into my body and rediscovering all of who I am. And the juicier I feel in all of my body, the more ideas that come to me for how I can impact more women's lives and do more purpose. I mean, there is such a connection. So first, how does someone even identify if they're disconnected, or is that something that you just inherently know?
Yeah, I think that most people really know when they're disconnected from their body. Something that's been pretty amazing to me is just how upfront people are about not being in touch with themselves. It's something that you pretty much know, especially if you had a childhood like mine, where you were raised to work very hard, prove that you were smarter than all the boys, get straight A's in school, but keep your body under wraps, because all your body is something to be looked at by men, and you're going to have to fend them off. You know, it's, you know, your body is something dangerous. Your body is this very enticing, exciting gateway to pleasure for men, but not for you.
We really have been raised that way. When we think about why we're disconnected from our bodies, you know, what I find so often with clients looking for purpose is we're just so in our head. What is it? What is it? Why am I here? And we do have this disconnect from our body. And you just so beautifully explained why. Because we've been taught to disconnect from our bodies.
Yeah. We've been taught that there's merit in disconnection from our bodies. We're taught that you are living a higher purpose if you're not concerned with things of the body. Hmm. And what we actually have found through the research is that people who are disconnected from their bodies are actually dealing with fear and anxiety by disconnecting from the body. That if we take in less sensory information, we're less overwhelmed by our own emotions. So it's actually just a coping mechanism. But then we can't selectively disconnect. We can't just connect from fear and anxiety. We disconnect from everything. So we disconnect from our feelings of warmth and safety and love and sensuality and eroticism if we disconnect from anything at all. So it's, you know, those of us who are walking around feeling a little bit numb or feeling like you don't remember the last time you felt turned on or really deeply in your body, you know it. You don't have
yes,
to guess.
You're right. And I would say, I love what you just said. And I feel the same way, that when you cut off one part of you, you're cutting that off everywhere. And and the same is true of joy. You know, a lot of people taking this course, if I ask what brings you joy, you don't even know. And I get it, because I felt that way for so long. And so I think if based on what you're saying, we've cut off joy and then we cut it off everywhere. And we don't even remember what brings us joy anymore, whether it's about sensuality and sexuality or not. Just that feeling of what does bring me pleasure. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So for those of us who are on our journey, and by the way, we're all on our journey. Like there is no end point for sexuality. there is no like, okay, I've made it, you know? And you know, you walk into, I mean, you turn on the TV or you walk into a sex toy store, you know, hoping to get the thing that will, you know, bring you there. You know, if I just get this thing, or if I just sign up for this thing, or if I just learned how to be a little bit more like this, then I will have arrived as a sexual being. And it doesn't happen. It's about the journey. It's about enjoying the journey. And the reason for that is that our sexuality continues to evolve with us throughout our lives. It evolves with our changing bodies. It evolves with life experience. Your sexuality is going to be different at 50 than it was at 30, which is going to be different than it was at 18. I mean, it's supposed to be different, and it's going to continue to evolve and change and deepen and become more and more enriched and complex and beautiful as we continue going on. So for those of you who are listening to this and going, okay, I'm really intimidated. What do? Do I buy the sexy lingerie? Do I buy the vibrator? I'm like, what, you know, what happens?
That was going to be my next question. Tell us.
What do I do? You don't need to buy anything in order to get into your bodies. the sex retail industry is just like any other retail industry. You know, some things are wonderful, some things you buy and will make you feel fantastic for buying it. But other things, you know, that you look at and go, oh, crap, well, if I buy this, then maybe I'll be sexier. Take a moment and stop and recognize that that's not about how you feel about yourself. That's about how you're imagining it will make somebody else feel. So learn to kind of disconnect your sexuality from what you think the expectations are of you. So if you, and try to stop comparing yourself to other people. It's so much easier said than done. But instead of thinking, okay, well, in order to connect to my sexuality, I need to make my partner think that I'm sexual. You know, it's not about that. And that kind of feeds back into what we were talking about before, the idea that our bodies are for other people's consumption, but not our own. You know, our bodies are for other people, our bodies are communal property, and especially for those of you who've had kids, you know, for a long period of time, your body is just a vessel or a food truck, or, you know, even if you adopted, your body really isn't your own. You got little kids, you're a jungle gym.
Climbing all over you.
And, you know, it's very hard to feel like your body really belongs to you. It's hard to feel like you have boundaries around your own body. So the first step isn't to try to...
Real quick, Kira, something else that I notice in women is the dislike of our bodies, right? 90% of American women have something that they dislike about their bodies. And so I'd be curious, too, as you go through what we can do, if part of why you don't feel sexual is you feel lumpy or you feel overweight or you... because I think all of that is a myth anyway, because I don't know who decided what our body shape is supposed to be, because in other cultures, body shapes are different and beautiful. So I'd be curious as you go through, what about that as well, of really coming into our own body to love the body that we have?
Begin to surround yourself or flood your own newsfeed. So if you're on Instagram or Facebook, begin to flood what you see with images that make you feel better in your body. So if you have an insecurity, say, about your weight, begin changing, not your body, begin changing your perspective of what weight has to mean. So there are so many incredible, absolutely flooringly gorgeous women who are, you know, boudoir models and lingerie models who would be considered obese by the medical community. Begin following them on Instagram. Begin looking at these images. Begin looking at how, you know, absolutely stunning they are. If you are in your 50s, in your 60s, and you're looking at these, you know, you walk past Victoria's Secret and you go, I don't look like I'm 17 anymore. I'm not sexual anymore. I'm going through menopause. I must not be sexual anymore. Begin following podcasts and profiles of people who are also, you know, post-menopause and are still very much sexual beings. There's a podcast called Our Better Half about senior sex. There are, you know, all kinds of fantastic books out there. And, you know, if you haven't sought it out, it's easy to think that it doesn't exist. But it takes a little bit of internet sleuthing, and you can find these images. You can find this community online of people who look like you, of people who are in the same stage of life as you, who are very much celebrating their sexuality. So it begins not with changing your body, because let's face it, some things we're just not going to change. It begins by changing your perspective, like recognizing how warped our current perspective of sexuality and who's allowed to be sexual is, and begin to alter that for yourself.
Oh, I love that. That is brilliant. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you. I'm already like, okay, who am I going to go follow? That's, you know, where are the other women in their 40s for me to follow instead? I think that's beautiful.
And then a little thing I'm going to just invite people out there to do. You don't have to do this. This is not a requirement. But, I just want to be a voice that gives people permission to then become one of those people. You know, do a boudoir shoot for yourself.
A photo shoot.
Do a photo session of yourself feeling sexy. Start posting things about your sexuality. Start a blog, or just start reposting blog posts from other people that you find inspiring. And see who of your friends reaches out and goes, thank you so much for posting this. I needed this too.
Wow.
Start That's feeling beautiful. Like you're not alone in this, in these fears, because you're not.
And if someone has never been able to look at themselves in bra and panties because they felt disembodied, right? Then do you recommend buying the prettiest pair you can find or saying something to yourself in the mirror? And I want to reiterate again, those of you who are like, why is this part of purpose? Because I have found that when we cut off our bodies, we cannot find or uncover our purpose because we're totally in our minds. We're totally in like the fight, flight, fear place of, what job do I want? As opposed to living your purpose, which is to be your beautiful, unique, incredible self in the world and impact the world in some way. And if you've cut off your body, if you're not allowing yourself joy, if you're not allowing yourself pleasure, if you're not loving you as you are, then you can't live on purpose. So this is super important. So is there something we should say to ourselves if we haven't put on a beautiful bra and panty, or I love the boudoir shoot, find a photographer that will help us feel beautiful. What do we do there?
Yeah. So it's going to be so different for each person out there. The first thing that I would say to do is to do things that make you feel like your body belongs to you. Hmm. And that no one's opinion of it, that no one's evaluation of it matters at all. And, you know, we may not feel that way 24 hours a day, but we can do a little more of something that makes us feel like our body is our own. And for some of us, that does mean diving into our sexuality. For some of us, that does mean masturbating more often than we do. But for some of us, that means going to yoga more. For some of us, that means taking 5 minutes to meditate. For some of us, it means going on a hike. You know, doing things that make you feel like your body really belongs to you. Before you can even make any decisions about it, right? If you think that you need to check with all these other people, if you think that you need permission before you can do anything with your body, then you're never going to connect to it, you know?
Right.
So first, really convince yourself that you do hold all of the power to make decisions about your body, how you're allowed to feel in your body, and what you can do with it and the journey that you're taking it on. Another thing that you can do, something that I find really wonderful and exciting and powerful, is start to get in touch with something called your core erotic theme. So it starts as a little writing exercise. Start writing down some of your most erotic or joyful or pleasurable experiences. For some of you, that's super clear. Some of you, you're going to go, oh, yes, I know exactly what my favorite erotic fantasies are, and you're going to start writing them down. For others, you're going to go, I've never had erotic fantasies. I don't know what you're talking about. Write down a romantic fantasy you have, even if it sounds boring or childish. Even if you're like, honestly, my most romantic fantasy is just having a really intimate conversation with my partner. Write it down. A joyful experience. You know, the last time I really felt joyful was, you know, bouncing around on the beach. So, you know, write it down. Just start to get in touch with just what that feels like in your body, to feel erotic, to feel romantic, to feel joyful, whatever speaks for you. And I would say write down at least 5 or 6 examples of this.
I love this. And it sounds like the key here is to be honest with yourself, because I can only speak from my personal experience. I started having sexual fantasies when I started masturbating when I was 5. I started having sexual fantasies when I was like 7, 8, as early as I can remember.
It's super normal.
But I didn't know it. And so I was really embarrassed about it. And they actually were me being very dominating. And I was embarrassed about it until, I don't know, a few years ago, 5, 10, whatever that was. And so it sounds like the key here is to really be honest with yourself. You don't have to share it with anyone, but just be honest with yourself about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it becomes a really fascinating self-exploration, because you will notice after writing down 5 or 6 of these examples, that there will be patterns among them. So for you, it was closely tied to domination. If you were to write down a few of these examples, you would see a pattern, you know, it might be of domination. It might be of control in general. For me, it wasn't until I started writing down a bunch of examples that I noticed that I had a thing about being looked at. I just liked being looked at. I liked the attention. Not necessarily being talked to or being touched. I could feel turned on and empowered and in my body if someone was looking at me from across the room. You know, that would do it for me in a satisfying way. So I started to maximize how I was being looked at. I started performing more. I started dressing a little better because I liked the feeling of walking into a room and having people look at me. I changed that around. I wasn't like, are they looking at me because I have a piece of spinach in my teeth, which I totally would have thought a few years ago. But instead, because I changed the context of it, I say, no, you know what? I am someone who enjoys being looked at. When I would walk into a room and people would look at me, my brain would make that mean that I looked great and that I was satisfying my own core erotic theme in that moment.
Yes, and I love this because earlier we were talking about and you had said that our bodies has been for someone else's pleasure. And hearing you say this, someone might interpret it, well, isn't that still for their pleasure? And what I'm hearing you say is, no. This is about my pleasure. I like receiving attention. I like being looked at. And so it's owning what you like.
Yeah. Beautiful. They are satisfying my needs.
Your right? need. Yeah, not about their need. They are satisfying yours. I love it.
I need to be looked at, and they are obliging.
I love it. And so I love this advice that as we come to find the themes, look for the small ways that we can replicate those themes in our daily life.
Yeah. And it might not be apparent at first. For many of us, it's very vague. A lot of people have things about just intimacy and conversations. If you reflect back and you think, what are some of the best dates I've ever been on or some of the best sex I ever had? It was preceded by a really fantastic conversation. Then you think, well, you know, how could I replicate that? Well, you know, when's the last time you asked a really poignant or deep and complex question to your partner? Or has it become just kind of this mundane, like, hey, how was your day? Good. How was yours? Good. You can take steps to deepen and enrich the conversations that you have to try and generate these experiences that bring you joy and make you feel connected to your body, make you feel connected to your partner.
Yes. Yeah. That is so beautiful. And I was speaking with a client a couple of days ago. The onus is really on us, right? So that if we want deeper conversation, we have to be the ones who create it. And this is true of anything, right? If we want to feel sexy, we have to be the ones who figure out what sexy is to us and then to go do it. And so often I think we're looking to other people to fill that for us. And whether it's about our sexuality, we look to other people to fill our joy. We look to other people to fill our purpose, like all of that. And it really always comes down to us and that we have the possibility, any of you who are out there thinking about in your own relationship. I was speaking with a client recently who was saying, my husband just doesn't have deep conversations. And I said to her, well, have you tried to have them? You know, like, have you brought the conversation to him? And she was like, no, because I just know he'll ignore it. And I said, well, if you don't want to leave the relationship and you don't want to be unhappy, you have to actually try, right? So you have to actually be the one who brings this and be what you want. Right. Rather than waiting for someone else. And it's very empowering. And I find when I feel empowered, then I feel really sexy. Right.
Yeah. And a good tip for talking to men, like stereotypical men, I mean, you know, some men are happy to sit down and have a deep conversation. But for those who don't seem that verbal, pick an activity first, you know, be doing something together side by side. And then initiate the conversation because for a lot of men, they've been taught that the vulnerability of just sitting and having a conversation for the sake of having a conversation is just too intimidating. And in some ways, it could be emasculating. I'm not going to sit around and talk about my feelings.
Right.
But if you're hanging out together because you're doing something else, like the purpose of your hanging out is to accomplish this other task, then if a conversation naturally evolves, you know, they don't need to know it's not natural. You know, if a conversation just springs up that's deep and interesting, then okay, because you're not hanging out in order to have a conversation. Right. So, you know, take them on a walk or a long drive or something.
Or do an activity together.
An
like
activity.
You're saying, go to
chop
the sports game.
I don't know.
Chop fire, whatever. I was going to say, go paint pottery. And I'm like, wait, my husband might be the only man who likes to paint pottery. So.
That's awesome.
I was like, wait, that's probably not a good example for the manly man. But,
well, yeah, something that he likes to do.
right. I love that. I love that. And are there some themes that you noticed? You noticed that, like, some women are, you know, if they were looking for themes, that some women have more of, like, the hot, fiery, and some women have more of the intimacy.
Yeah. There's such a range, and they're really all okay. So I'll just rattle off a few core erotic themes just so that you know, if you're like, you know, oh, it looks like my theme is this. Is that wrong? It's not wrong. It's not abnormal at all. People have core erotic themes around being controlled, having someone just take total control of them, being used, having their bodies totally objectified and being used for someone else's pleasure. Now, here's the kind of complicated part of it is that because that is your fantasy, it is still you owning your fantasy and your pleasure. So even if in the world of the fantasy, someone else is taking control of your body, someone else is taking away your personhood, it is still something that is happening inside of your brain that is making your body feel something good that you are enjoying. Therefore, you are still an empowered woman and you can engage in this fantasy.
Yes, it's the ownership of it.
Yes.
I'm doing this. I'm allowing you to have pleasure in me.
Yes.
I love that.
Exactly. Yeah. Some people have strong fantasies around controlling other people, telling other people what to do, making other people do things. Some people are real switches. Some people kind of like going back and forth between being controlled and being in control. Some people are into getting a lot of attention, even being overwhelmed with attention. Some people are very into that. Some people are into being almost ignored. You know, being treated with a kind of indifference. Some people are really into being being snuck up on was one that I heard. I thought that was really interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, the idea of being snuck up on, you know, somebody hunting you in a way, and the attention that comes from that. You know, there's such a range of these fantasies. So,
and they're all normal. I think,
they're,
you know,
that
hearing you speak, it's like, I think this is a key, is accepting, loving, celebrating what is true for you. We don't have to analyze it. You don't have to think that you're weird and need to go to a therapist. Just accepting it and celebrating what is you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how to get into your joy again.
Yeah. Yes. The hardest part is not pathologizing ourselves. You know, as soon as we isolate a fantasy, we're like, wait, is that
normal?
That
okay? Yeah.
Yeah. And also recognize that it is a fantasy that you're having, and a fantasy is different from sexual behavior. So just because you might have a fantasy of being abducted by three men and thrown into the back of a car and then taken somewhere, it doesn't mean that you actually want that to happen to you. It means that you enjoy thinking about that. And you can play with that in the context of a consensual adult relationship. But, you know, so I don't want people to go and think, oh, what is this thing about being abducted? Why do I think about these things? Is that something that I actually want? What kind of messed up person thinks that? No, you're engaging in make-believe. You're engaging in fantasy play. This is cops and robbers for grown-ups, you know. When we're little kids and we run around and we're like, okay, today I'm a giraffe. It doesn't mean that you had some kind of pathology as a kid where you have to become a giraffe.
Right.
You know, this is really no different. It's our sense of imagination and play that we've been taught to ignore. And it's about recapturing that.
This is so beautiful, Kira. Thank you. So if someone wants more, where do we find you? Where do we go?
Yeah, you can find me at kirasteincoaching.com. I left it really simple, kirasteincoaching.com. And my email address is kira@kirasteincoaching.com.
Great. And I will include a link with this recording so people can get to it easily, but it's KIRASTEIN coaching.com. And like I said, Kira, you hear all this knowledge from her, and I want you to take away the importance of being embodied, of getting into your own body, of reconnecting with your own sense of joy, your own sense of pleasure, your own sense of femininity and sensuality. Because as you do that, as you're in your body, you will open up space to live your purpose. And it might not seem connected in your mind, but I promise you this, as you are in your own body and you are living a life of pleasure and joy, your brain will naturally start making connections and getting more clear about who you are and your truth and the impact and what you want to do with your life. I'm telling you, Kira was where you are just a few years ago. So with that, Kira, thank you, thank you, thank you. This has been enlightening. My heart is like full on open, and I'm actually excited to explore some of my fantasies that I hadn't thought about until this moment. So I'm excited for a date tonight with my husband. If that's too much information,
Awesome. Nope,
I don't
not
care.
at all.
I am a woman living on purpose. I don't care. So
Have all the pleasure. Own it.
I love it. Well, thank you, Kira, so much.
Thank
And
you.
everyone out there, kirasteincoaching.com. She is the best if you want to get into your body. And with that, we hope you enjoyed this bonus session as part of Living on Purpose course. May you live purposefully, may you love yourself, and may you love life. Bye for now, everyone.